If we can put up on the screen Matthew 2, and we've only got 3 weeks to Christmas. Seems no time since Thanksgiving is over, but Christmas will be here shortly. And we can look at a few things concerning the three wise men this morning, and Matthew 2, 1 to 12. Let's stand, shall we, and let's read it all together. These very familiar passage of Scripture. Let's read together. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. God bless you. You may be seated. And they were very wise men. They were wise men. They came from a far country, and they brought those precious gifts to Jesus. And there in verse 6, it tells us there, which we have just read out, in verse 6, it speaks. Verse 5, and when they said unto him, in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And so they knew that the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the reason they knew it was because of a prophecy that had occurred over 700 years previously, by the prophet Micah. And the prophet Micah, he was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. They prophesied in the same period. And in Micah chapter 5, in verse 2, we see this amazing prophecy, even with such detail, the exact town. And Bethlehem was not a big place. I mean, it was a town, a small city, about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And all those hundreds of years before, the exact place where the birth of Jesus took place was prophesied. And it tells us in Micah's prophecy in chapter 5 of Micah in verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah," it was a town within Judah, "and yet out of thee shall come forth unto me," that is to be ruler in Israel, ruler in Israel. In other words, there was going to come a ruler in Israel, a king from the Davidic line, from coming down through David, and then whose goings forth have been from of old. In other words, you know, his origins had gone back many, many years before. In fact, not just many years, had gone back for eternity, because it says from old, from everlasting, which even Micah there is prophesying that the Lord Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, he had no beginning, he had no end. And of course, when he came to be born in a manger, which we remember this Christmas time, it was not the beginning of Jesus, it was just simply his incarnation. It was God, who had always existed in heaven, taking on the form of human flesh and coming to live in our midst. And just imagine it. I mean, how he humbled himself, and then just to become a servant, and then to humble himself, to die the death on a cross, and go through all that suffering and pain for us, and took upon himself our sin, so that we could be saved. And so Jesus, he always was, he always will be, he always was, he was always in the bosom of the Father. And we thank God so much that he was willing to leave all that wonder and splendor and glory of heaven and come to earth. And the name Bethlehem, that little town in the tribe of Judah, it means bread. It means the house of bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And Bethlehem, it's quite high up. It's about nearly 2,500 feet above sea level. It is also called the city of David, because that's where David was from. King David was born in Bethlehem. That was his hometown. Jesse, his father, and were Bethlehemites. And Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem. And there in verse 6, back in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, it tells us there that out of thee, this is out of Bethlehem, among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. A governor, a ruler that shall rule my people Israel. And actually it speaks about Jesus in that verse, verse 6, speaks of Jesus coming to rule his people Israel. And that was not speaking of the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus was 700 years after Micah prophesied, but that part of the verse is speaking when Jesus comes back at the second coming of the Lord. And Jesus sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years, and Jesus will be the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He will be the ruler. He will be the governor, the ruler of his people, Israel. And so that verse, you know, from the time of Micah is looking forward from Micah's time about 2,700 years. And, you know, it's an amazing, amazing prophecy. The so many prophecies in the Word of God. I mean, each one fulfilled to the letter. And I mean, only God could have put together the Word of God. And in verse 6, when it says there, the ruler, he shall rule my people Israel. And in the margin of my Bible, it's gone, he shall shepherd, or he shall feed. He shall shepherd and feed. Part of shepherding is feeding the people. Feed my people. And the character, you know, of a ruler, the shepherd, one who feeds. And one of the seven I ams in John's gospel, John 6:35, speaks about Jesus. He is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And as we go on for him, and as we pray that God and ask God to work in our hearts and to change us more and more into his image, God wants to make us bread so that we can be, you know, broken bread, and we can minister to others. We can help others. We can feed others. We can feed even the multitudes. And in verse 7, we see Herod there when he secretly called the wise men. He inquired of them, you know, about the star, when it appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and go search for the child and come back and tell me. Not that he wanted to worship him, he wanted to kill him because he would have been a threat to his kingdom. These were three very wise men. And they were wise. They were wise because they sought Jesus. They sought Jesus. They had a heart. They had a seeking heart for the Lord Jesus. And we want to emulate them. We want to follow their example. We want to be those who seek the Lord. We want to be those who seek Jesus. Now, of course, we seek Jesus. We find Jesus when we begin our Christian life, when we come to know him as our Savior, the one who forgives our sins, the one who comes into our hearts and gives us eternal life. But continually, God is wanting to give us, you know, a fresh understanding of who Jesus is, a fresh understanding of what he has done, and for us to come to experience him and to know him, you know, in new ways, in fresh ways, and in all the many, many attributes, you know, of his nature and his character. We want to be those who not only love the Lord Jesus, but will seek him. Will seek and keep on seeking, who will search for him, who will hunger for him, who will desire him, who will want him more and more, that he will be our all in all. And those wise men, they were wise. They were wise because they sought after Jesus. And it tells us that in Jesus, he is wisdom. He is the source. He is the very source of all wisdom. In fact, Paul tells us when he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, it's speaking about Christ. He is the power of God. He is the power of God, and he is the wisdom of God. Christ himself, he is altogether wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. And when Paul writes to the Colossian epistle, in Colossians 2 and verse 3, again, he's speaking about the Lord Jesus, and he said, in him, in whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The more we know Jesus, the more we seek Jesus, the more we experience him, the more we know him, we will have increasing wisdom in our lives. And because in the Lord, I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's why the book of Proverbs tells us, it says, you know, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the most important thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And Proverbs 8 verse 11 tells us that, you know, for wisdom is better than rubies. And everything that may be desired cannot be compared to it. And we see the wisdom it's talking about. Wisdom is personified in Proverbs 8 as Christ. And in verse 11 there, everything we can desire You think of all the things you could desire. You could desire money. You could desire silver. You could desire gold. You could desire riches. You could desire houses. You could desire pleasures. You could desire travel. Anything you could think of. Cannot compare with wisdom. Cannot compare with wisdom. Wisdom is better than rubies, better than precious stones, and all the things, everything that you can desire or think of cannot even be compared to the value of wisdom. And when we seek Christ, as those wise men sought Christ, you know, we're seeking wisdom. They were wise. They were very wise. And as we seek the Lord and seek to know him, he will make us to become more and more like him. And his wisdom will be developed in our lives. And that should be the focus of our lives, the focus of our lives, to seek him, like those wise men, to seek after Christ. He was the King of the Jews. When we think about those wise men, I mean, it was a great sacrifice for them to follow the star. I mean, even if they knew that following the star, I mean, God had put within their hearts, I mean, they knew that they should follow the star and they were going to find something. But there must have been an intense desire in their hearts to follow that star. I mean, think of the sacrifice. They'd have to leave the home. They'd have to leave everything that was familiar with them. I don't know whether they were married or not, but if they were, there would have been families. There would have been everything. And then traveling through the desert. And it wasn't just, you know, 1 or 2 days travel. It wasn't just 1 or 2 weeks. It was several months they would have been traveling. And, you know, what? It was a tremendous sacrifice to do that. But that was the focus. That was everything else was put aside. Everything else was put aside. And they followed that star. They were seeking Jesus. At Christmas time, you know, many people, it's just a time of pleasure, a time of partying, a time of gifts, a time of eating and drinking. Families get together, which is wonderful. Time of, you know, relaxing. But so often, Christ is not focused upon. Christ is not remembered. Christ is not forgotten. And, you know, this Christmas time, you know, in a fresh way, we are to seek Jesus. We are to be wise, like those wise men. Seek him. Seek to know him in a fresh way, in a new way. David says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." And it was with the same with those wise men. Their focus was totally on finding the Messiah, on seeking the Lord, to seeking the Christ. And Jesus himself said, you know, seek first, not second, third, fourth, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that we need in life. They shall be added unto us. And those wise men, not only did they seek Jesus, but those wise men, as they were seeking Jesus, they followed the star. They followed the star. And the star, that bright, bright star in the sky, gave them guidance. And that star led them to where Jesus was. Before, you know, modern technology, it was through the stars that the sailors would work out where they were. And the stars could guide them to their destination. You know, they'd look at one star, they'd take a bearing, they'd look another star and take another bearing. It was generally about 3 stars that they took bearings from. And through that, then they could calculate their, you know, where they were. And And not only did they follow the star, did those wise men follow the star to find Jesus, but it's prophesied of Jesus that Jesus is a star. Now, those wise men, they followed Jesus. They followed the star as they were seeking after Jesus, to find Jesus. But we know that Jesus, he is a star. And one of his many names, he is the Revelation 22 and verse 16. It's actually one of the titles of the Lord Jesus. He is the bright and the morning star. Jesus has many, many names. And each name reflects something new, something different of his personality, his character. And he is the bright and the morning star, the bright and the morning star. Back in the book of Numbers, Balaam speaks of a star that is to come. And in Numbers chapter 24, and in verse 17. Now Balaam, he was a mixture of a prophet. He was a true prophet, but he was covetous and there was greed. And many of his prophecies, they were right from the heart of God, but there was a mixture. And there was greed in his life and the love of money in his life. And he was one that it seemed that, and we see from this verse here in Numbers 24 that it seems eventually that he did make it to heaven. It seems he just made it to heaven, but it says that he will see the Lord not closely, not from nearby, but from afar off. And in Numbers 24 and verse 17, Balaam says, he says, "I see him, but not now. I shall behold him. I shall behold him, but not near, not near." In other words, he was very far from the presence of the Lord. But he spoke and he prophesied a true prophecy. "There shall come a star. There shall come a star." Remember Jesus? He was a star. And he is the star that Balaam is prophesying about here in Numbers. And it says, "There shall come a star out of Jacob." Out of Jacob. "And a scepter." It's a king who has the scepter. "And a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And Jesus will come at the second coming. He'll come with a scepter. He'll come as the king. "And he shall smite the borders of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." And so, and we see from the prophet Isaiah, when Jesus comes at the second coming of Christ, there'll be judgment on Moab and upon that area, which is modern day Jordan. And so Balaam here, he speaks of the star. And the star, of course, is Christ. "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth." Abraham, God gave great promises to Abraham. And in Genesis 13, God says God will multiply him, even as the sand from heaven, as the sand on the seashore, God would multiply Abraham. But there's a greater promise to Abraham in Genesis 22. And Genesis 22 is the time when Abraham obeys God and is going to offer up his son as a sacrifice and goes to Mount Moriah and is just about to put the knife in when God calls out, "Abraham, Abraham." And we know Abraham passed his test. He was willing to obey God and kill his only son, through whom all the promises were going to come through. But Abraham was willing to do it, believing that even if that did happen, God was going to raise him up from raise him up from the dead. But after he passed that test, that supreme test, and he was willing even to sacrifice his son, God was first, his father was first, even before the promises, even before the son. But when he passed that test, you know, God spoke to Abraham, and that God was going to multiply him, and God, and in, it's a wonderful promise in verse 17. Genesis 22, and in verse 17, we read this wonderful promise to Abraham. That in blessing, God says, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. As the stars of heaven. To multiply him as the stars of heaven. What an awesome promise. You know, there's not too much value in sand, but there's great value in stars. And God says, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And the Lord is wanting to make us. You know, Jesus was a star. He was a star. And the Lord wants to make us shining stars for him. You know, Jesus said to Peter, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And God is wanting to say to us, you know, follow me, seek me, seek me, and I will make you shining stars for me. I will make you shining stars. And God is wanting to make us, each one of us, so that we would shine for the Lord. That we would, not only is Jesus a star, we would be stars. And stars, of course, stars give light. Stars emanate light. A star has light within. And Jesus said, another one of the I ams of John's gospel, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. But Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you are the light of the world. And if you get a lamp, you don't hide it under a bushel, but you put it on a lampstand that it might give light to everything around. And Jesus said, so let your light shine before all men. So the Lord has called us, Jesus has called us to be stars, to shine, to give light, to be bright, shining lights, you know, in the midst of a dark and corrupt generation. Isaiah prophesied, arise, shine, you shine, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord shall be upon thee. And he says that the Gentiles, they shall come, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. So we are to shine. And the Apostle Paul tells us, when he's talking about the glory of the heavens, and he says there's one light of the sun, and there's one light of the moon, and there's another light of the stars. But then he says, for one star differs from another star in glory. 1 Corinthians 15:41. So basically Paul was saying, as believers, we are to be stars. We are to be stars. We are to shine for the Lord. And, you know, some nights you get out, some nights where there's, you know, very dark and very clear. And, you know, it just seems just like a multitude of stars. Stars, it's impossible to count. And some of those stars are very, very dim. You can hardly see them. But others are brighter. And yet still others, you know, seem seem brilliant, seem very bright. Those shine brighter and brighter. And Daniel 12 and verse 3, it tells us that they that be wise, or another translation, those that are teachers of righteousness, those that be wise, shall shine as the stars. They shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and those that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever and ever. You know, what an incredible promise. Stars not only emanate light, but stars keep their course. They follow a course. And Jesus is the bright and the morning star. Jesus had a course. He had a course. And from his baptism, his ministry was only 3.5 years. But from his baptism, he was like launched into that course after his preparation years. And the goal of his life, the main goal he had, was to hit the mark, was to go to the cross, was to shed his blood and to rise again from the dead. And by the grace of God, Jesus hung on that cross and he could cry out, "It is finished." He completed everything that the Father had ordained him to do. He kept his course. He went to the cross. John the Baptist, his ministry was very brief, just about 18 months or so, and he came to prepare the way of the Lord. And we know that after Jesus began his ministry, it was some months after that John himself said, "I must decrease, but the Lord must increase." And shortly after, he lost his head. But writing about him, Luke writes in the Acts of the Apostles, inspired by the Holy Spirit, John, even though he died young, maybe just in his early 30s, people say, "Well, what a waste." But no, it was not a waste. He accomplished his course. He was a bright, shining star. He fulfilled his course that God had for his life, the purpose for his life. The Apostle Paul, his course was a long course. Many years he served the Lord. Missionary journeys, started churches, great signs and wonders. But as he writes at the end of his life, he was able to say to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Even as the stars have a course, Paul knew he had a course. And he could say at the end of his life, "I finished my course." And each of us, there is a course for our life. There is a set course. Nobody can copy it. It is different from everyone else's. But God has a course, a set course for your life. And the cry of our hearts should be, "Lord, help me to complete that course. Help me to do your will. Lord, that I might stay on course, that I might accomplish those things that you've called me to accomplish in this lifetime." We have a course. And stars, they give light. We are to give light. We're to shine. That the light of Jesus would shine through our lives. Stars have a course. We have a course. And we're to cry out to God that we will fulfill that course. But also, there are some stars which are called wandering stars. Wandering stars. And they're stars that end up not giving light, and they end up not fulfilling their course. Wandering star. And the book of Jude speaks about these wandering stars, stars that wander. And in Jude and verse 13, it tells us there, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their mouth, shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And it's a warning. Don't be a wandering star. A wandering star Often comets are referred to as wandering stars. And a comet is a small planetoid or meteor that has a highly elliptical orbit around the sun. And as it circles the sun, it will usually be far away from it, although it will draw near to the sun, perhaps once in a man's lifetime. And when the comet comes close to the sun melts the frozen water that the comet is partially made of, and a tail of water vapor forms behind it. And the comet then becomes very bright for a short season and can sometimes even be seen in the daylight. But because it does not have a balanced orbit like the planets, it will soon end up in the black darkness of outer space in the heavens and disappear. And those who turn from the Lord, those who fall away, those who are backsliders, they're like those wandering stars. They don't finish their course. They end up with no course. And tragically, you know, I know so many people who start well, but have not finished well. And you know many people who have started well, who have gone on for the Lord, who loved the Lord, who were always at church, who were shining lights, who were wanting to fulfill that course. But now, they're backslidden, they're in sin. They're not at church, they're away from God. Maybe they got offended, maybe some sin, but it's like they were a light, but that light has just fizzled out and is not shining. Judas. I mean, he went out preaching, he went out healing the sick, he cast out evil spirits, he did many things he sat under the best teacher in the universe for three odd years. But he was a wandering star. He ended in hell. Saul. He started well. The anointing was upon him. But he would not fully obey. When he died, he ended up not going up, but going down. Like a wandering star. A star that didn't make it. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 8 and verse 12. Matthew 8 and in verse 12. Jesus says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." Speaking of those who start off in the Christian life, but backslide, don't go on. "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and gnashing of teeth." And so, it's very sad, those who are wandering stars. Proverbs 21 verse 16 said, "He that wandereth out of the pathway of righteousness shall dwell in the congregation of the dead." By the grace of God, this is a severe warning that by the grace of God, we want to be pressing on. We want to be shining for the Lord. We want to be on course. We want to be seek to fulfill God's will and God's purpose. Cain, who killed his brother. You know, he just became. He went to a place and he built a city. He called it Nod. And one of the meanings of that is just wandering, aimless. He wandered. He was a vagabond, going back and forth, wandering aimlessly, as so many are today. By the grace of God, we want to be those. We want to be those who hit the mark, who are shining lights, who will finish our course. And by the grace of God, we want to pray that we will not be those who turn back, but we will be those, by God's grace, who will go on, who will seek the Lord as those wise men did, even though it may be a cost, there may be sacrifice, but by God's grace, there'll be a determination in our hearts by His grace that we will be those who will shine for the Lord, who will keep our course and will be role models for others. Let us pray.